Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Ten for Talmud. Bechoros Memches, Bechoros 48a, pagination is 95. We'll start from the top of the page, Masnisin, where the Mishnah begins. Mishalo Bechra Ishto. A person has a wife that has not yet had her first child. So the child that comes out is going to be the Peter Rechem and is going to be obligated in Pidyon HaBen, redemption. V'yoldo shnei zecharim, and she's given birth now to twins, and we don't know which one came out first. Now, this case is even a case, we have it in Chumash. The case of Peretz and Zorach, where Tamar gives birth to the children, and they were so overzealous of keeping track which one Zer Yatza Rishona that they prematurely affixed a tag, so to speak, to the child, and it turns out that Peretz was born first. So this concept exists, that we're worried we're going to confuse which child is the firstborn, which child is the second. We don't know. Come to Yerusha, we'll have to deal with that. He can't prove that he's a Bechor. But as far as Pidyon HaBen goes, there's an easy solution. Nosen hei siloim la Kohen. You simply pay the redemption money to the Kohen. If it's for this child, so be it. If it's for the other child, so be it. But either way, I have an obligation of Pidyon HaBen, and I'm doing it, and that's a nice style in halacha that we find. Either way, this is what you have to do, and he does it. The Mishnah continues, though, sometimes it gets sophisticated, in this case, very unfortunately so. Meis echad mehen besoch shloshim yom. If one of these children would die within 30 days, so then the obligation of Pidyon HaBen is when the child lives for 30 days, miben chodesh tifte, and over here, that never happened. Ha'av pater, the father is going to be absolved of the mitzvah, because now he has one child, that if that child is the firstborn, there's obligation. But there's a second child who really might be the firstborn, and that child would not have the obligation, and therefore, you would have to prove to extract money, and you can't prove. We're all in doubt, so we don't know. The Mishnah continues with a scenario of Mesa'a v'habanim kayamim. If the father dies, then the children are alive. So the children, even if right now they're very young, it doesn't matter, the obligation is there. If they do it now, they do it later, they do it when they're bar mitzvah, whatever it is, but the obligation is here. But what changed is that the bimonafshach, the either way, we have a simple solution, tell the father to pay, that's not so simple anymore. Because now that the father's gone, the children can each say, maybe I'm obligated, maybe you're obligated. And we don't have a bimonafshach anymore because they're two separate entities. Rab Meir says, "Im nasno ad shelo chilko nasno v'imlav piturin." Rab Meir says, if you could still do the mitzvah before the division of assets, that would be an example of Pidyon HaBen, because either way, the original assets of the father are to be used for Pidyon HaBen of whichever child is the firstborn, and you still have yomim nafshach. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Nischaivu Nechasim. Rabbi Yehuda says there still should be an obligation because the property is obligated, and that obligation stands and should be observed. Last words of the Mishnah Zachar Onekeva. If the children that are born are male and female, so the female does not have the obligation of Pidyon HaBen, the Zachar does, and we're not sure which one was the firstborn. So in the scenario where the female was born first, there is no obligation here. It's only an obligation if the male was born first. So ain kan the coin klum, the coin would get nothing because we have a principle, motza mechaver olav haraya. You want to extract the money, you have to prove the circumstances, and we can't, so he doesn't get. Let's turn the page, and we're going to really continue this theme in the next Mishnah, but in the reverse. On the fifth line of the Wides, Masnisin. Shtei noshim shalo bichru. A man has two wives, which in the time of the Talmud was permitted, and neither of them have had their firstborn yet. V'yoldu shnei zecharim. And the two of them have each a male child, so they're two male children to this one husband. Nosin yud salaim lakohen. He gives a double pigeon aben to the kohen, because it doesn't matter which child is from which mother if the case is that they did get interchanged. Either way, there's a firstborn from this mother, a firstborn from that mother, and the husband is obligated in two pigeon abens. Meis echad mehem besoch shloshim yom. If one of the children would unfortunately die within 30 days, im lekoin echad nosan, if he gave both redemptions to the same kohen, then he has a mimonaf shach for his refund. Yachzor lo chamesh shalom, he gets one set back because he is only obligated in one pidyon haben because the other child never made it to the obligation time of 30 days, and therefore the kohen has to refund it. But if he gave it to two different kohanim, the money is already in their hands. Now, he is the one trying to extract money from them, and he's not able to prove which redemption was from which child, and therefore, based on which child died, he should be entitled to a refund. He comes to the Kohanim, and each one says, I'm taking the payment from the child that lived, that lives, and there's nothing available to, no available proof to extract, so they're each going to keep the payments. In general, this is an interesting consideration before you pay to check if you're truly obligated, if there is such an opportunity to verify you might wish to do so before paying. Once you've paid, the burden of proof switches. Skipping in the Mishnah about six lines, we have one nuance of the case that changes and therefore changes the ruling. Shtei nashim shel shnei anashim shelo bichru. Let's say these two women whose children got switched were of two different husbands. They're in totally different marriages. They indeed shelo bichru have not yet had a firstborn, v'yoldu bezecharim, and they each had a male child, so there's a total of two children here in the nursery, but we're not sure who is really the father. Zen of each. Zen nosin chamesh salayim lekoin. Vizen nosin chamesh salayim. Each one is going to have to give the pidyon haben to a kohen, because regardless, there is one child here that's his. He might not know which one, and by Yerusha inheritance, it's going to be interesting. But obligation of pidyon haben, this certainly is. Meis echad mehem besoch shloshim. Same case of, unfortunately, one of them died within the 30 days. So they've already paid, but someone theoretically is entitled to a refund. Im lekoin echad nasnu, if they both gave their redemption money to one kohen, yachzelem chamesh shloim, then he should return to them one portion of pidyon haben, and they'll have to deal with that. I guess they'll split it. Im l'shnei kohanim nasnu, ein yocholim lotzi miyadam, but if they gave it to do different kohanim, then each kohen, upon the request of the refund, can argue, prove that you're entitled to a refund. Prove which child died, and that that child is yours, and that therefore the redemption money you gave me is the one that needs to be refunded. And Einan Yechalum Lotzi Miyadam, they don't have that type of proof, and therefore each Kohen will end up keeping the money that was paid to him. There is the statement here, though, that if they gave it to one Kohen, they would get a refund to the two of them. Skipping to the Gemara, three lines up, Maishin Ashnei Kohanim Da'oza L'Gabei Hayu Madchilei Va'oza L'Gabei Hayu Madchilei. Why is it that when you have two Kohanim, each Kohen can reject the father that comes for the refund and say, I'm not the Kohen who needs to give the refund? Kohen Echad Nami, why don't you have the same argument in the flip side when each father comes to a single Kohen? Leze Ligabayai Velitchaya, when he comes to the Kohen, first father, the Kohen should push him away and say, I'm not sure that you're the one entitled to the refund. And the second one comes, and again the Kohen should respond, I'm not sure that you're the one entitled to the refund. Omar Shmuel, Shmuel explained, Viva Bahar Shah, they're coming with an authorization. And this is a technique that's used when we know that money is owed, but we're not sure to who. So all of those who's that might be owed the money want that at least the money should be extracted and then they could split it between them, whatever deal they'll strike. So they write an authorization to one person. If you're the correct person, go collect. And if you're not the correct person, I'm authorizing you to collect the money on my behalf. And then once the money is extracted, they can divide it. Asks the Gemara, Va'amri nardoi lo kasvinon, Adarhta amitaltali. We don't write harsha'os on movable objects. We're worried, as Rashi explains, fourth line. Ho ve'enon be'en, since it's not tangible, mechzi kishikra, it seems like a lie. Shema ein biyada mishal zeklo. Maybe he really doesn't owe anything. V'chas misadi ashikra, and the witnesses are signing falsely. In other words, the authorization shtar says the money that you owe me should be paid to so and so, and then edim sign. How can they sign? It's not for sure that he's owed any money. Hani mili echad de kafre. Says the Gemara, that's only when the person is denying that he owes the money. Aval heicha de lo kafre kasvinon. But in such a case, the Kohen certainly agrees that he wants to give the refund to one of them, but he doesn't know to who. This is simply a way of facilitating what everybody agrees ought to be done. And that's why this harsha is able to be written. Yeshe koach, thank you for joining.